This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Whatever your taste, you'll find it weeknights on Joy 94.9. Taste. Something for everybody.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you. Thank you very much for joining me this evening. We will continue our exploration into the extraordinary series of Deep Water, the online investigation, the drama series, the documentary series on SBS that explores the unsolved murders of gay men in the 70s, 80s and 90s. And we'll also speak to Mark Whittaker. He is the man behind the podcast of True Stories, part of the online investigations for Deepwater, exploring the murders in Adelaide. On The Informer last week, we took a look at SBS's cross-network event, Deepwater, and we explored the drama series. On tonight's program, we will take a look at The Real Story. This weekend on SBS, Deepwater, The Real Story, a crime documentary that absolutely pulls no punches, explores the gripping true crime stories and a buried chapter of Australia's most recent history. Throughout the 80s and 90s, a wave of murders bloodied the idyllic coastline of Sydney's eastern suburbs, the victims all young gay men. Some 80 deaths, some 30 unsolved crimes. And throughout, denials by the New South Wales Police that these were anything other than suicides. Australia's national treasure, Bondi Beach, for me, will never look quite the same. Bondi Falls in Waverley Council, together with ACON, they're looking at doing a memorial. Well, joining us on The Informer is Michael Atkinson. He's the manager of Healthy Communities for ACON. Michael, thank you very much for joining us on The Informer.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Cynics like me might consider Manager of Healthy Communities to be somewhat of a nebulous title, but as we explore some of these tragedies of our most recent past, your job title seems very appropriate.
Well, the broader health needs of our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex communities is a really important issue, and I think putting more attention on the needs of these communities is increasingly more important. And issues such as violence and the history associated with the violence against gay men in particular is one of the key areas that comes under my remit.
Now, we know that from the 70s right through to the mid-90s, there were some 80 gay men who were killed. On top of that, there's some 30 unresolved crimes. And bringing it all up through this series must have impacts directly to the community there in Sydney. I'm feeling it because I'm of that era. But to have been on the ground there in Sydney during that time, there must be locals that who knew some of these people and are really affected by what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to what you're saying. I grew up in Perth, Western Australia, and I heard of some of the murders, but definitely the violence through the gay press, and it definitely left a mark for me. So not to mention exactly what you're saying, for those people who grew up and socialised in areas where people were being harassed, beaten and murdered would have been shocking. And one of the key aspects of this project is to reach out to those communities, and we are looking to engage people in conversations. We're inviting people to come forward, and we'll be holding a very thorough consultation process, but it will be about looking to hear from people who might have stories from that time, because the project really is about a healing process for the wider community, the LGBTI, the gay community. I mean, foremost, it is about the families. Foremost, it is about the families and the friends of those people who lost loved ones. So it is about seeking justice and healing for those people.
I noticed that ACON is offering counselling services during this time.
That's right. ACON, like a lot of other AIDS councils, we have a very fantastic team, a large team of counsellors. So through our intake line and through our website, people can make contact. The phone number for our particular counselling service is 9206 2000 or acon.org.au.
And that's 02 for Sydney in front of that. Michael Atkinson, the ACON, together with the council in the Bondi area, is looking at doing some form of recognition of these lives lost. Can you tell us about that process?
We're just so appreciative of the support from Waverley Council, who have come forward in full support of building a monument, exactly as I was saying before, in remembrance of those men who lost their lives, and as an acknowledgement of support for the gay and lesbian community, not just in Waverley, but it's a strong statement in support of the community more broadly, that these sorts of issues, it just shouldn't happen again. We're a progressive society today, and because lots of the murders did happen at Bondi, the council is particularly keen to support a message of vigilance into the future.
I think it's a really important reminder, not only of those lives lost, but also to remind us of where we are today.
Exactly. It was very hard for the community at the time, as murders were happening, and they did happen from the 70s through to the 90s. While it was happening, it was very hard to kind of get a sense of the full extent of what was actually going on. I think a lot of people knew that violence was taking place, and it happened quite visibly to a lot of us, and we heard stories from our friends who were beaten. But certainly it's with a little bit of time and a bit of hindsight that it's allowed us to look back and say, well, wait a minute, this has gone unaddressed, and we really do need to look back. We're very happy that New South Wales Police are conducting Operation Parable, where they're looking into the cases themselves, so looking at the cold cases, and we're very appreciative of that effort, and we are supporting Operation Parable. So, it must have been very difficult, and whilst homophobia continues today, it does happen in different shapes and sizes. We aren't seeing as much of this type of violence. We haven't seen this type of violence for quite a while, which is good. We want it to stay that way. We are looking for an inclusive society, one where everyone feels that they belong, one where everyone feels safe.
The New South Wales Police Force has got a long and checkered history with our community, and I just wonder at what point in time will they actually acknowledge and apologise for not just the damage that they've done, but for turning away and not doing anything, as in many of these cases is illustrated.
The New South Wales Police have recently recognised that there is a culture of homophobia, at least in the past, and that they are working to address it. So that's there's a few recent issues that have come into the press. So ACON has worked closely with police in a variety of ways. We run an anti-violence project here at ACON, working to support LGBTI communities. And the police have generally been very cooperative and very supportive. And like I said, with Operation Parable, the police have been very keen to engage with key stakeholders and to get our input and support with that process of their investigation into the murders. There is a checkered history. From ACON's point of view, there is some clear signs of police looking to make amends and to work with the communities into the future.
It's only one or two, maybe two at the most, years ago that on 7:30, though, a senior police investigator denied that any wrongdoing had taken place into the investigation of one of these cases that kept being brought up by a family member. It's outlined in Deepwater, The Real Story, airing on SBS this Sunday. But it just infuriates me that it's so recent that they were still saying nothing to see here.
Yeah, I can understand that, and I don't think that by the New South Wales Police recently acknowledging homophobia within the police force that all of a sudden everything's just all of a sudden better. Mm. I think it is a process of working together over time. It is a very serious issue, the safety of our community, of all our community members, whether you're from an ethnic minority, whether you're Aboriginal, whether you're a lesbian or gay person on the street, everyone has the right to feel safe. And the police are one of the key players, and we absolutely want to work closely with the police to make sure that everyone gets equal support and that we can be safe.
From a community perspective, it then falls upon ACON to be the voice and to be the engagement for community on our behalf with the police. You say that things are better than they were. Is there still much more to do?
I think there is definitely a lot more to do. So, for instance, once the Operation Parable has its findings, that's going to be the beginning of a new process. It'll be at that point, once we have that information, that ACON and a range of LGBTI community-based organisations working together here in Sydney will move forward from that point on looking for justice. So there are a range of organisations and partners that ACON's been working with. So we've been working with the Inner City Legal Centre, the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Dalso Turk, Turco Lawyers. There's a bunch of organisations that we're working with. So there is quite a cohesive group of people here.
Michael Atkinson, Manager of Healthy Communities for ACON. I appreciate your time. Anything we can do to assist here at Joy 94.9, please let us know.
Yes, so certainly people calling in with any information that they might have from that time. We will commence our community engagement process very soon, but if you could direct your calls to our website and to my phone number, that would be great, which is 9206-2032.
That's 02-9206-2032. That's Michael Atkinson, Manager of Healthy Communities from ACON. Well, tonight on SBS, part three of the drama series will air, Deep Water, and the conclusion of the drama series tomorrow night. And this Sunday, October 16 at 8:30pm on SBS, Deep Water, The Real Story. This is one hard-hitting documentary. A warning, the following is confronting.
We made an appointment with the head of the Unsolved Homicide Unit, and he said, right, so what happens now is that I've got a stack of 700 unsolved homicides, and this one goes in the bottom. And we said, yeah, but you don't understand, this never has been investigated.
In the 80s and 90s, there was a huge amount of homophobia, and that was the norm.
I've been bashed twice.
There really was an incredibly violent period when kids were beating and killing gay men.
I was battered badly.
The police told me to come to the station.
It was all about, this is my punishment for being who I am.
The young people weren't aware that it was illegal to bash a gay man.
Bash on their quarters.
They thought the police supported them.
God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
At that time, there were almost 30 unsolved gay murders in Sydney that no one ever heard about.
Many people out there know who killed these people.
There's no question.
Bagger, it's a hobby, mate. It's a sport. Just do it for the fun.
The deputy coroner has slammed police for not investigating the deaths of three gay men in Sydney in the 1980s.
These deaths weren't suicide. It was far from that.
Did you think just for a moment it might have been something like a murder?
The clothing contained some valuable evidence.
We had no idea.
Had it all been washed?
Then they lose a hair sample.
That disappeared.
They were all doing their best to protect themselves.
We had 50 or 60 persons of interest. They eliminated all of them.
I haven't found anything that completely eliminates suicide.
It's crazy.
We were back where we started.
It's unfair just to say it was the homophobic police force. The reason the police didn't care enough was because society didn't care enough.
All you have is a man who lost his brother, and he's just trying to find out what happened.
They changed the course of my family's history forever. For what? For what did they get? What?
Don't miss A Deep Water, The Real Story, this Sunday, SBS, 8:30pm. Last week, we touched on the podcast series that has been done by Mark Whittaker. It is part of SBS's True Stories. And Mark Whittaker joins us on the program now. Mark, thanks for making yourself available.
My pleasure, Dean.
Mark, your investigation into Adelaide's murders and the disappearance of gay guys doing beats in Adelaide. What have you uncovered in your investigations in Adelaide?
There was a pattern that seemed to stand out more so in Adelaide than elsewhere. That's not to say that the pattern doesn't exist elsewhere, but it was pretty much the same scenario as Sydney, whereby gay men were dying, being bashed at beats, and the story the next day would portray it as a robbery gone wrong. It just didn't seem right to me. And I just thought it was worthy of looking into further, because it's a difficult one to really know the extent of. And as has been noted of Sydney, that the only reason we know about all the ones in Sydney is that academics went looking for it and they found them. And there's those 80 cases where that are now being further investigated. Nobody's done that sort of work in the other cities.
You don't have to scratch too deep in Adelaide's history to uncover the mythology of the family, as it was known in Adelaide. It was the story of a paedophile ring of young boys disappearing and being murdered and abused. Did that form part of your investigation? Did you uncover that mythology, which I believe was a trumped-up thing that the police put forward?
Yeah, well, as you say, you don't have to look very far for it to pop up. And there's no doubt that those deaths have influenced the way the gay community has interacted with the rest of the community, because it's like the gay community in Adelaide is keeping a lower profile than they might otherwise have done, because they've kind of been all lumped in the same basket as these as these murderers. And the fact that we know that the only person who's ever been convicted for one of the family murders, Bevan von Einem, you know, we know he used to cruise beats. So there was that crossover, which has meant that they've kept a low profile. I think that the community as a whole has been just that little bit more afraid to step forward and say, hey, look, this is what's happening to us. We're being bashed and killed at these beats because there's that conflation of the two ideas of the family murders and just the gay community in general.
Tell me what it was like for an investigative journalist to dig into the, I guess, seedy sexual underworld of gay men and the beat culture. Was that a revelation to you?
I don't know about a revelation, but it was certainly very interesting. Yeah, just to learn about that. I'd spent most of my adult life living around the Darlinghurst, Surrey Hills area. So all of that kind of thing was, which is, you know, the gay centre of Sydney. And so all of that kind of thing was familiar to me on a superficial level. But to actually have an excuse to find people and actually ask them, so what goes on there? I found that it's a wonderful privilege of being a journalist that you get to ask people these interesting questions about their life that might be a bit impertinent in other circumstances.
Well, in fact, in episode 3 of your series on SBS True Stories, you spoke to one, Brad Shannon. Let's just take a listen to his recollection of beats.
The beat clear is something that's been around, I guess, since the 1940s, predominantly in Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. But it wasn't until sort of the early 70s when homosexuality was legalised that it became a thing, in inverted commas. I've been doing beats since I was about 12. I still continue to do beats now, and I'm nearly 50. According to most of my friends and acquaintances, I'm probably Australia's premier authority on beat culture, sadly.
One of the idiosyncrasies of the beats is that they're predominantly populated by married or bisexual men like myself that don't necessarily interact with the gay community.
There were numerous places within that parklands around the diameter of the city that were beaks. Bill Gardens was probably the most notorious one. In its heyday in the 80s, you could have anything from 20 to 30 men there overnight at any one time seeking sex with one another. This would go on basically from sunset to sunrise.
That's Brad Shannon speaking to Mark Whittaker in his episode 3, The Beats Generation, part of SBS True Stories. It is part of the ongoing online investigations as the cross-platform Deepwater series on SBS. Now, the reason I wanted to play that is because there is a whole generation that actually don't, of gay men, that don't know what beats are.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, they've grown up with apps and they've grown up not having to interact in public places to get sex. They simply turn their phone on and it's done.
Yeah, that's... Although I certainly got the impression that while beats were well past their heyday, that they were still operating. There are those...
I'm not saying that they're not around. I'm just saying there's a generation that doesn't understand that sort of culture, which you actually get across very well in your series, that it was more than just sex.
Yeah, that was a very interesting part of it. And I did hear that same thing said repeatedly by people, that it was full of those married men, you know, popping out to the papers in the morning and dashing down the beach at the sunrise, that sort of thing. And others just going there to catch up and say good day and have a chat and, you know, only probably scoring 1 out of 5 times that they go. But, yeah, the rest of it was just the hunt and the socialising. And, so it was a very interesting insight, something that I'd been curious about for a long time.
I guess the one thing that is mirrored in Adelaide, as it is in Sydney, is the police denial of or lack of investigation, lack of proper process when it comes to deaths and bashings at these beats.
Yeah, well, often, you know, they have very little to go on, as one copper explained to me. You know, first thing you do in a murder is go and knock on the neighbours' doors. And these murders happening out in the Adelaide's parklands, there's no neighbour to knock on, and you're very much reliant on people coming forward. But if they're out there saying, this is a robbery gone wrong, you know, anybody got any information, please come forward, you're not going to get the same people coming forward as you'd say, this is a hate crime, anybody know anything, please come forward. And it's just, you're just getting off on the wrong track from the get-go. And it's like there's that little bit of dishonesty. And I think in some cases they're probably trying to protect, you know, the mum who doesn't know their boys, what their boy's doing at night. So they're trying to protect her feelings. But at the same time, they're sabotaging their own investigation by that basic dishonesty.
Oh, I think you're being very generous there, Mark. But anyway, I'll let you have that one.
well, I don't know. But, you search around for an explanation for why, you know, why they would be dishonest like that. And they say it so outright, you know, this is, we believe this is a robbery gone wrong. Well, whereas the real answer is they've got no idea what really caused it, but there's a darn good chance that it's a gay hate crime.
And by your own admission, your own investigations came against trouble getting people to speak up.
Oh, still, yes, extraordinary. So you know what sort of problem the police would have had 20 years ago trying to get people to come forward. If, you know, all those years down the track, you know, even in cases that have been solved, people still don't want to talk about it. They still don't want to admit that they were there, even within the gay community. I very much got the impression that there is a bit of that class system where there are members of the gay community who, you know, it's a bit below them to admit that they were frequenting beats. You know, I'm sure many didn't, never have, but, you know, there are others that did, and just, you know, it's just a bit low rent. And so they'd rather not talk about it.
There is a lot of stigma around beats and whether people frequent them or not, so within the gay community, let alone outside of that. And you know, throw in the complexities of it being illegal at a time when homosexuality was illegal, and that just makes it all the more difficult, I guess.
Yeah, and on numerous occasions I'd ring people up and say, you know, can we have a chat? And they'd say, yeah, sure, can we make it, you know, 3 o'clock tomorrow? And I'd say, sure, you know, arrange a Skype time or whatever. And I'd get on Skype and they just wouldn't be there, and I'd ring them again and they were gone. You know, they never answered the phone again, you know. And that happened so many times. It was getting interesting that it was happening so often. So you can certainly see that the police never had an easy way forward. But similarly, you know, they didn't throw the resources at it that they might have in other circumstances.
We're speaking with Mark Whittaker, who is the man behind the SBS True Stories podcast, Season 3. It is all about Adelaide's bashings and murders at beats, and it's an incredible investigation, some 5 episodes of the podcast series. Episode 3 has just been released, another 2 more to go before, Mark, you release a promised long-form article. Can you tell us anything further about that?
It's interesting you mentioned the family murders, because I do get a little bit conspiratorial in the final episode, where there were a few gay men making allegations against senior Adelaide figures, and one of those was subsequently murdered at the Veal Garden Beat. Again, the police said robbery gone wrong, but yeah, it was like the day after the Royal Commission was announced that this guy died, and so there were a few people involved in that who very much think he was murdered because of what he was about to say, you know, about what happened at Veal Gardens back in the day. That's an interesting one, but I don't draw any conclusions from that because that's just so murky. You never know. You know, you're picking out the truth from the rumour from the mere suspicion is you know, next to impossible. But
the timing was rather extraordinary, however.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, and it certainly made those people, like the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of the South Australian Parliament. He certainly is one who believes that he was murdered for what he was about to reveal. So yeah, it's not without substance, those claims, but police totally deny there's anything behind it, and there's just a whole lot more detail about, you know, how a gay murder becomes not a gay murder and those sort of things. But yeah, it's an awfully long. Awfully long read. There's a lot squeezed into it, so it's almost too much to go into here.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that and the completion of your podcast series. I've thoroughly enjoyed it so far. You have, however, demystified one of our culture's most intriguing seedy elements. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that, but you've done a brilliant job at doing it nonetheless. So,
thank you.
Mark Whittaker, thank you.
The word beat is an Australian term too, so...
Yes, it is.
It
is.
Which I found kind of interesting.
Called cottages in UK and other things around the world. It's Did you get behind the meaning of why we call them beats here in Australia?
No, I didn't. I even rang the Macquarie Dictionary seeing if they had anything on it, but no, they had nothing. I just gathered it was. I think the theory was before that it was to do with like a policeman's beat walking the beat in that way. That was. Just theorising.
No doubt one of our listeners will let me know very, very soon. So if they do, I shall inform you accordingly. Mark Whittaker, thank you so much for joining me on The Informer this evening.
Thank you, Dean.
There will be links to those phone numbers and, of course, to those podcasts of Mark's on our podcast page of this show. You'll find it at joy.org.au/The Informer. Follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy. Follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Till next time, keep well. Take care. Bye for now.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.